Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer. Yesterday, state officials voted to go ahead with a scaled-down version of the Green Line extension that would affect Cambridge, Somerville, and Medford. The 4.7-mile extension will still include 6 new stations and a relocated Lechmere stop. But the stations will be simpler, just platforms with weather protection, and the community path will be shorter. So, how far is this plan from the original vision of the extension? And what does the scaled-back version mean for people who live and work along the proposed extension? For more, we're joined by the mayor of Medford, Stephanie Muccini-Burke. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me today, Shira.
And we're also joined by Charlie Cipio, senior fellow at the Pioneer Institute. He's also a research fellow at the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at the Harvard Kennedy School and head of Cipio Strategies. Welcome back, Charlie.
Hi, Shira. Good to be here.
Thanks for being here, both of you. First of all, I just want to know, what was your reaction to the decision yesterday for the state to go ahead with this scaled-down version of the Green Line extension?
I would say that I think it was really the T and the Commonwealth found ourselves in a very bad situation when the news came out. You know, everybody talks about this going from $2 billion to $3 billion. The reality is it went from $1.4 billion to $3 billion in a nanosecond, in just over a year. So given the situation we found ourselves in, I really think that yesterday was probably about the best result that we could have hoped for.
And Stephanie?
I agree with Charlie there. It was certainly a hurdle that we needed to get over in order to preserve the Green Line and its federal funding component. So we were all hoping that the result would be a positive one, and at the end of the day at 5:30 yesterday, they finally reached that milestone for us. So we understand that it's a scaled-back version, but the purpose really is to move people in and out of Boston into greater paying jobs and opportunity. So we're happy that they took that vote yesterday.
Mayor Burke, you're happy they took the vote, but are you happy with the scaled-back version?
Of course not. Of course not. We all want it to be a much grander project. We wanted to have some of the elements that were envisioned through all the community process that took place. But all in all, you know, you have a certain amount of budget funding, and you have to do what you can with that funding. So I appreciate the position that the board members were put in and the lack of any additional funds coming out of the federal government. And so it was the best that we could hope for yesterday.
Mayor Burke, let's talk specifically, though, about the community path. I know this doesn't necessarily affect Medford, but what are your thoughts on the shortened path?
Well, it doesn't affect us directly. However, we are supporters of pathways, especially that enable people to get to and from transit. So we lobbied on behalf of Somerville as well to have the community path at its full capacity. So, you know, the shortened version is not a great place to be in, but I do know Mayor Curtatone is a very capable and creative individual. So I know that he will work hard to connect the dots, and hopefully by the end, when it goes to the federal government, we will possibly find some ways to continue that path and to make it one continuation, so no breaks onto especially the McGrath Highway. I also just want to take an opportunity to thank Congressman Capuano. I mean, he has been a stalwart fighting for this project, so without his help, we would never be where we are today.
Charlie, I'd like to get your thoughts on the path. I think they might be somewhat different.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I mean, to me, I got to be honest, I can't take a path seriously when we're dealing with an entity that has gotten itself to a point where it's over $9 billion in debt with more than $7 billion worth of maintenance backlog. I mean, none of this obviously is Mayor Burke's fault. I mean, she hasn't done anything to make that happen. But I mean, you know, when any entity gets itself into that situation, it would be an understatement to say that their choices become dramatically restricted, and that is certainly the case with the T.
Charles, you've called this whole debacle, if you will, in some respects, a teachable moment. What are the lessons that the T should take away? What are the lessons that the cities involved with the Green Line extension should take away from how this all transpired and in the sort of reduced or path that we found, the reduced path and the restructured stations that we now find ourselves with?
Well, to be honest, and I don't just say this because the mayor's on the line here. I mean, I don't really think that there's much for the cities to take away from this. I don't know that if I was in the mayor's shoes, I would have behaved or done anything differently than she did or than Mayor Curtatone did. I think the big lessons come from the state and from the T. I mean, the biggest lesson here, and I'm a broken record when it comes to this, is that the biggest problem here is that, you know, there are many, many causes for where the T is today. But the single biggest one, by no means the only one, but the single biggest one is that the T has had foisted upon itself, you know, these absurd multi-billion dollar big dig mitigation requirements. Mm-hmm. And 25 years after this ill-fated consent decree, we are still the worst, by the way, the worst transportation decision of the last half of the 20th century. You know, we are still today, a quarter of a century later, you know, dealing with a bankrupt transit authority and having to move around desperately to try to get any project like this one funded.
So yeah, I'd like to actually, speaking of that and the funding, I'd like to bring in, joining us from Washington is Representative Michael Capuano, Congressman for the 7th District of Massachusetts and former mayor of Somerville. Welcome, Representative. I guess let's start here. Can you just quickly give us your reaction to this decision yesterday for the state to go ahead with the scaled down version of the Green Line extension?
Well, I'm glad they took a small step forward. They're inching forward. This is one more step in the right direction, and I'm looking forward to this thing coming to a conclusion.
What have you heard, and this is to you, Mayor Burke, as well, but Representative Capuano and Mayor Burke, what have you heard from your constituents about the scaled-down version of the extension? Is there dissatisfaction with the new version, or are they, like you, happy that there has been a step forward in the Green Line extension process?
The supporters and the people that live along that corridor are very disappointed in the new design of the stations. But I think that they all realized that it was under a microscope and that it had to come in with a budget that was tolerable. And I'm sure Congressman Capuano can elaborate a little bit more. But there was no additional federal funds that could come to the table, as well as the vote that the state took. They weren't willing to throw in additional funds to really make this happen, besides the MPO money that they put out for the 30-day period to reallocate to Phase 1. So, you know, people are not happy. They think we're taking a step backwards. We're not looking into the future. And I understand what Charlie said about the community path, but it's not just a community path. It's a means and a method for people to get to work without using cars or trains. So in that regard, it's a healthy moment, and I'm glad that they did keep some of that into their budget numbers.
Representative Capuano, reaction that you've heard from constituents, and please, as Mayor Burke said, feel free to elaborate.
It's mixed. I mean, some people want more. Some people are satisfied with it. But look, this project has been on the books since at least 1943. Everybody that I've ever represented has been waiting for this their entire life. And they are satisfied that they'll be getting something in the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. Do we want better and more? Of course we do. But, you know, one step at a time, and most people that I represent understand that. There's nothing wrong with pushing for more, but looking something in the mouth and saying, no, I don't want it unless it's a Cadillac, I don't think that's going to happen.
You say that they believe they're going to get something in the foreseeable future. What, and this has been a project that has been plagued by delays, what do you see as the timetable going forward when your constituents might actually begin seeing stations that they can use?
I learned a long time ago when it comes to the MBTA, never give time frames. It is the silliest thing you can do. All I can tell you is I hope it happens in the near future before I am in a wheelchair.
Actually, wow. The estimates, the dates that they used for construction to begin is October of 2017, and it's an over 4-year project. So we're into the 20s by the time we see this completed, and that's the core, the phase one to College Ave.
It's amazing. Now, one of the hurdles that's still left is $73 million more in funding.
Well, I think the first hurdle is the federal government doing their review of the scope of the project to make sure that it fit with the parameters set forth. So I think that that review, while that's taking place, then I'm sure the state will also be fine-tuning some of the numbers that they used for this project. And what was revealed also, I don't know what the value is, but that they had amassed some real estate that won't be necessary for this project. So as far as I'm concerned, that real estate should either be sold or should be taken out of the Green Line project if the T wants to keep it for other purposes, and it shouldn't be part of this core.
Representative Capuano, I hear you saying it can't work that way.
The federal government will not approve it without making sure that the finances are in place.
Correct.
So where does that $73 million come from?
The state's going to have to make that determination. They cannot go to the federal government and say we're good until they come up with the final determination of not just funding, but also they have to have a solid plan in place. This project, like all projects, the reason it got funded is because at the time it met the financing criteria. And if people don't believe that, they'll have to go back to the original proposal, the draft proposal that the state put in. The federal government wrote back to them and basically, in a much nicer way, said, this is nonsense. We need a real plan. They came back in with the real plan that included additional taxes, which were increased to partially, not just for this, but to fund transportation projects. And the federal government worked with them to accept their numbers. Now, again, that was based on the state's proposal of how much it was going to cost. The funding part of it was legitimate at the time and still is for a $2 billion project.
Correct.
The federal government can't go back in and judge how much a bridge is going to cost. That's up to the state to do. The state's going to have to go in with a fully blown plan again, which includes the financing, includes all the environmental numbers, and includes the ridership. I know that the state knows this. I know that the state has been working on it. They have been talking to the FTA repeatedly. This is not something new. So, in theory, it shouldn't take that long because this is not a new game to the federal transport authority.
Representative Capuano is right about that. And the other thing you remember here is that, you know, the other reason I said that this was as good an outcome as we could have hoped for is that, you know, say you were to take the approach of just pulling the plug on this whole thing today, you know, the cost of the state was still going to be over $700 million. So I'd rather find the other 70-something million dollars and have the project than not be able to find it and still end up on the hook for $700 million. So, you know, you've got to be able to find that money.
There's no question they're going to find it. Or find other ways to save the money. I mean, there's two ways to do it.
Now, Charlie, you talk about pulling the plug on this thing today. Secretary of Transportation Stephanie Pollack made clear yesterday the project could still be canceled if there's more financing trouble. Is that a concern for you? Representative Capuano, it doesn't seem to be a concern for you. You say they'll find it. Mayor Burke, Charlie, what do you say?
I think she was very clear yesterday with that concern. She certainly raised it on multiple occasions over the course of the five-hour meeting. So she's very concerned about that. But I also do know that they did buy more real estate than they needed. So there's probably room in there for other things that they could sell off or, you know, fine-tune. So until they get that $73 million gap filled, one way reduce expense or one way increase revenue, you know, I'm concerned.
Well, and two quick thoughts on that. One, I think what Secretary Pollack was more concerned about was that there would be another round of sort of ongoing, you know, inability to bring this in on budget. You know, a fear that down the road, once again, the budget's going to explode. My sense is that that's more what her concern is. And the second thing I would say is that, you know, if I were her, I'd be saying the same thing, not because I want to pull the plug on it, nor do I think she wants to, or nor do I expect she would. But, you know, in a way, it's her biggest leverage point in terms of trying to keep this under control. So I think she's going to use it.
Representative Capuano, I'll leave the last word to you. Concerned?
I totally agree with that. But at the same time, the state has been, you have to understand, one of the reasons they get in the problem they are in is because they tried a brand new method of designing and building a project like this, and they effectively gave all the cost control to the very people who would be getting paid to do the project.
Yep,
so if
right.
you tell me, Mike, we need to buy a pencil from you, and Mike, you determine how much the pencil is, I'm going to tell you it's a $742 pencil.
Clearly not a good recipe.
Good
Clearly not not a good recipe. We're going to have to go with that sentiment. Stephanie Muccino-Burke is mayor of Medford. Thanks to you.
Thank you.
Chipio is senior fellow at the Pioneer Institute and head of Chipio Strategies. Thank you.
Thanks, Shira.
And Representative Michael Capuano is a congressman for the 7th District of Massachusetts. Thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
For a link to the Green Line Extension's consultants report, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.